All right, he starts out, he says, we observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God, the same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. Now the world is a very different place. For man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Here, he starts out with this conversation going, it's not me alone, but what I have sworn before you as a community, the people of the United States, and God Almighty as his head. And then he lays out the difficulties that are there. And that where the solution is, isn't in the generosity of the state or anything that humanity can bring, but no, that from the hand of God. He continues on and he talks about all the differences that are going on, all the problems, and highlights on the need for a strong military because of the world around. This is at the height of communism as they're pushing in. It's right before the Vietnam War because of what has happened there. But it's very interesting because he starts going, he says, as he closes that section, he says, to those people in the huts and villages of half the globe struggling to break the bonds of mass misery, we, meaning the American people, pledge our best efforts to help them help themselves for whatever period is required. Not because the communists may be doing it, not because we seek their votes, but because it is right. If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, cannot save the few who are rich. Here he says, it's not because of the votes we seek or because we want to be seen as good, but because it's the right thing to do. Church, that's a message I think we've forgotten with the gospel is we don't share the gospel because we want people to become a Christian. We don't share the gospel because we want them to join our church. We share the gospel because it's the right thing to do that God can be in their lives. And all the rest of it just comes from it. Sorry, I gotta scroll through things now. All right. Continues on, he goes through the political standing and the need to come together, and he says, and if a beachhead of cooperation may push back the jungle of suspicion, let both sides join in creating a new endeavor, not a new balance of power, but a new world of law, where the strong are just and the weak secure and the peace preserved. And all this will not be finished in the first 100 days, nor will it be finished in the first 1,000 days, nor in the life of this administration, nor even perhaps in our lifetime on this planet. But let us begin. Here he lays out that, listen, this isn't going to happen quickly. But he adds another thing. He says, in your hands, my fellow citizens, more than mine, will rest the final success or failure of our course. Since this country was founded, each generation of Americans has been summoned to give testimony to its national loyalty. The graves of young Americans who answered the call to serve surround the globe. Now the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, though we need arms, not as a call to battle, though embattled we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, directly from James, a struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. He moves in and keeps on talking about the history. He says, I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. the energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. He ends his speech with a good conscience on our sure is or sorry, with a good conscience our only sure reward, with history and final judgment of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth God's work must truly be our own. Thanks. This speech sparked, in fact, most of us know the middle line, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. This is probably the only part of that speech most of us have ever heard. Definitely probably the only part of the speech that we remember, but throughout it, he makes a call for community because he understands that as the president, you may be a great spokesman. You may be a great visionary, but unless the people come along beside you, unless as a community they form up and move forward, there is no strength and there is no action being done. And at the root of this man's life was God. He quotes scripture twice directly inside his inauguration speech. He talks about how it's by his hand and his power, meaning God, the Christian God, that these things will come about. And also understand that the work of God must be done by those who are on the land. So, in other words, us. The question that you might have, though, is how does this become a biblical conversation? We hear a call from the government all the time to unite in community to do what they want us to do. But the fact is the body of Christ, the church, has constantly been seen as a community. We're going to take a lesson from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, if you want to go ahead and turn to that. And please stand with me as we read. Paul begins by saying, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we hear your words. Let us set ourselves aside to be part of a community, to be strong in community, to find our identity in community, first with you and then with your body. For God, by ourselves, we are weak, easy mark for Satan. But in community, surrounded by your love, with you as our head and fellow believers, helping us day in and day out, we have strength. Lord God, let us answer the call that you've given us with strength, not weakness, in community, and not idleness. Lord, we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Please go ahead and have a seat. I would love to sit up here and tell you that the whole thing that happened this morning was to prove a point. It wasn't. It was simply, I've been working on this for several days and the sheet is sitting next to the chair I was in last night. But it brings out the point. that together we have strength. I could have sat here and panicked, or I could have told you that we weren't going to cover what we were going to cover because I wasn't prepared. But because I had other brothers and sisters to back me up, ready to go, with today's technology, we were able to move on as planned. See, that's the strength of community, that together we're better than when we're by ourselves. Together we are the body. This concept that we hear throughout New Testament teachings would be referred to as the nation in Old Testament, a group of people that looks different than everything else in the world, a group of people that acts differently than everything else in the world, to be a light, to see what God is doing and who God is in this world. But we forget this all too often. See, we come to church all too often thinking, what can the church do for us? If you don't believe me, look at all the mega churches and how quickly people flock to them, but yet the small church that's struggling just to provide some basic teachings and programs are the ones that are failing, even though the vast majority, over 75% of churches, are under 100 people or less. I want you to think of that number, that over 75% of the churches in the United States have less than 100 people in attendance. How many churches of 100 does it make to make up a Willow Creek of 35,000 strong? I'm not a mathematician, and I didn't take a time to plug that equation into my calculator, but it takes a lot. And what do we hear as a church, as those who do ministry in the church? Well, that church just doesn't have the services I want. They're not quite what I'm looking for. But the question is, who's being called to get the things done? Why are you here at church? If you look inside your bulletin, the first question is, what is your role? Paul puts it out there. He says, therefore remember that you... Oh, sorry, wrong 11. That he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. See, what God has done is he's equipped the church through the people who walk through that door. For those who come and confess Jesus Christ to do what the church needs to do. If we don't walk through that door regularly, if we're not in attendance on a regular basis, then we're missing our evangelists, we're missing our pastors and teachers, we're missing our prophets, our apostles. We're missing vital pieces of the ministry God has called us to do. See, JFK understood that it was going to take a whole country, not by his hand, but by the people's hand. The country would become what they were hoping it would become. That when the body came together, when the country came together, united as one general community, that they could accomplish and move forward in a positive way, pushing off the enemies and the dangers that are around him. Well, guess what, church? We're no different. God has equipped us as a people to take on Satan, to not fall prey to him. Why are you here? Why do you think God has called you to this church? Whether you're visiting today because you're looking for that new church, why do you think God has called you to be his child? What is your purpose? We've talked about the DNA of what a Christian looks like and what we hope that as people attend the church here at River Life will naturally come upon them through teaching, through living life together, through going out and doing ministry and mission together, to live a life of worship in prayer, on mission, with generosity, so that we may glorify God because of the love of Jesus Christ, right? This is what we've been talking about for the last several months, but the question is why are you here? Is the church here to serve your need? Are you accepting the call that God has given you here, sitting right here and now? See, who's being called to get the job done? The entire church. Not just the pastor, not just the paid people. We have a role, not just our leaders. They have a role also. But each and every one of us as a community have a part to fill. We've talked a lot about the body and how if you cut your hand off and you don't put it back on soon enough, it'll die and wither and fall away. Sometimes disease can do that, right? But the fact is if everybody in the church doesn't participate, then we're not a whole body. We don't have the ability to do what God's called us to do. And this message is starting to sound a little old because I hit it every time we come across any of this type of message. It's because it is such an important one to the New Testament writers. They hit it time and time again. There isn't a single book in the New Testament that doesn't cover what it means to be and accept the call of Christ and then to go and do it. He continues on in verse 12, that these evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, whatever your gifting is for the equipping of the saints, so those who have accepted Jesus Christ. And what for? For the works of ministry. He doesn't sit there and say, listen, the apostles, the prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers are there to do the work of ministry. No, the people who hold those titles, those who are teachers and pastors, are there to equip the saints to do the ministry God has called them to do. A church is only as strong as the weakest link inside the chain. And we have to take that honestly. We have to understand that if we aren't happy with where our church is, if we aren't happy with who we are as a church, then we only have ourselves to blame for that. And I know it's a hard message to hear. And I know it's like, Pastor, you're being really rude and crude about this situation. But I need the message to be home and heard. Because the fact is if we're not happy, if people come to this church and like, well, the services aren't what I want, or this isn't what I want, then what can you do to help make it what you want? How can you stand up and fill a need with the gifts that the Spirit has given you, not for your gain, but for the edification of the church, which is exactly what Paul's talking about here, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of mission or ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is why we have what we have. And what for? Why do we do this? Till we all come to the unity of faith, of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, in other words, why we have the people to help train up the saints to go do the mission or the ministry work for the edifying of the body is so that we can become more Christ-like. Paul understood that this was a process, and part of the process was answering the call, doing that which God has put in place. And now we have a great church, and we have lots of people who answer the call, and lots of people who come up and do a lot of different things. And I want to celebrate that. I don't want to diminish it, and I don't want to sound like I'm not thankful for those who do step up. But I also want to challenge if you're not stepping up. We are not a church unless we have everybody involved. If you are a Gen Xer, so i.e. if you were born from about 1980 on, the greatest thing that they say right now that we search for is community. To find our place in a community or inside a world that seems to be so haphazard and so lost that it doesn't even have the ability to identify itself anymore. Church, we are the community unified in Christ. We are the answer that all these people who sit there and say they're looking for this or that outside are truly looking for. But we need to act like it. We need to live up to that calling. We can't simply bounce from place to place. We can't simply sit there and make up our own faith or our own religion, but we must live as we're called to live. That's what he's saying in 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So in other words, just because this pastor can tickle my ear a little bit better than that pastor doesn't mean I should flock that direction. I should look for the truth. I should look for the honesty of Jesus Christ inside the teachings. The challenging of it, not just because it makes me feel a little bit better about myself or it makes it a little bit easier for me to hear the message that may not be true. And church, I'm here to stand before you as we have that problem here in Portage. We have pastors who say and claim that they preach the truth of Jesus Christ who do not. Who live lives outside of what God has declared being good, yet still call themselves a minister of God's word. We can't lie to ourselves anymore that we should no longer be children. It means that you're ready. You don't need to be fed milk anymore It's time for you to grow up, to answer the call, to eat the meat that is placed before you, to take on responsibility on yourself. And I know some might be sitting there going, well, Pastor, it sounds like you're talking like we need to earn our way, and that's not the truth. By grace alone do we enter heaven. But because of the grace that's been bestowed and the mercy that we've been given, we should want to answer the King's call. We should want to mature. We should want to be part of his body. We should want to be more full in Christ-likeness, as Paul calls the Ephesians to. See, Paul understood the Ephesians were battling a tough fight because they were a transitional community, not much different than Portage. People passed through day in and day out because it was a huge hub for commerce, for business. People would come and live for a year or two as they sold and peddled their goods, and then as they ran out, they'd go back to their country, restock, and then come back in. There were multiple gods being worshipped throughout the area. What Paul was worried most about for the Ephesians was this tossing to and fro, the ability for other things to please the flesh in word and deed instead of the spirit being saved and grown. And so he calls them to watch out, to not be thrown to and fro, not to be tricked by men, not to fall to deceitful plotting and cunning craftiness. You see, each and every one of us has the ability to understand the word for what's given. And yes, there are tricky areas in there and in places that we need to go to deeper study, to challenge ourselves to grow more mature in what the word is teaching us through study, through the challenge of digging in a little bit deeper, asking questions, opening ourselves up. This morning's lesson talking about sin, it's a very difficult lesson for Sunday school, because when we start talking about sin and being asked to be honest, that means we have to open our hearts up and sit there and say, what is sinful in our lives? Where do we disobey God? And while we can talk about sharing the love of God or how God shares his love, and that becomes a very vibrant conversation, when we talk about sin in our lives, we tend not to be very loud or very bold whatsoever. Well, it's no different here when we start following brokenness, when we start following the trickery, when we find ourselves being deceitful or the victim of deceitful plotting. We tend to become quiet, we tend to withdraw, and we start breaking up the community. Paul here is teaching that in this moment, when we come as community before God and we put him first, his truth first, and we unite and we move towards that, and we set our plot or our path for the maturity in Christness, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that's what we drive ourselves towards. Only then will we be truly united. Because it's not about us anymore. It's not about my will or my personal like in the situation, but it's about what we as a church are doing, what we as a community are doing. JFK talks about that. He says, because it is the right thing to do, we should drive ourselves that direction. Not because our competitor, the communist countries, are doing it. Not because we want to be found in favor and win votes on it, but because it's the right thing to do. That's the very definition of integrity. To do what is right even when no one else is looking and it doesn't matter to anyone else. To simply do what is right because it's the right thing to do. See, Paul's making that argument too, that we can't just serve ourselves in this. It's not because we want to just draw people to us, but it's because we don't want to be deceived and we want to build the body stronger. Because as we build the body, as we edify the body, we become stronger. We become safer. If you're an athlete, if you're a triathlon runner, a football player, or just any type of athlete, you don't just work one muscle group, you work the entire body, both endurance-wise and strength-wise. Because you understand that by working it fully, by bringing all the pieces in together, overall you become stronger, more able to do the task at hand. The United States Army is changing their physical fitness test. It's going from 3 basic to 6 basic and a tasks in tacking the 2 mile run at the back of it. And as a lot of us older generational people inside the military are looking at it going like, yeah, there's no way. There's no way I can do half of that stuff at this point in my life without breaking myself, but we'll try it anyways. The Army has understood that fullness of physicality is more important than just being able to do push-ups and sit-ups and run. To be able to work the body as a whole is a much better teaching. Isn't that what Paul's trying to tell us? To come together, to unite in Christ. Why? So that we can equip the saints so that they can go do the ministry that they're being called to do. So we need to do this so that we aren't deceived as we're out there. So as we hear people talk, we can be honest with each other and go, is that true? Is that actually what Christ is saying? And that we may build the body, that we may edify, that we may become stronger. So the question I have inside the bulletin is, how do you fit in? If you don't know that, what can you do to find out? Several weeks ago, we handed out the spiritual gifting survey. And starting next week, at the end of each service, I'm going to be sitting at the back if you want to discuss it. That's one of the things that we offer. There's a lot of different things that we can do. The first thing I want to talk about is, how are we going to move this from here? How are we going to take his teachings? How are we going to continue, but speaking in the truth and love, may we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. See, church, I need you to be the church. Not just because I have an agenda, not just because I want to move us someplace, but because I understand I'm better, I'm stronger when we're all together. Each and every one of you is better when we're all together. See, only together can we answer the call God has given, River of Life. Only together can we be the church, the body of Christ here in Portage that he has called us to be. And we need to make that a priority in our lives. We need to make sure that we are serving where God has called us to serve, among the people that he has knitted us together. What I'm trying to tell you is, you do belong. You're not here by accident. You may look a little bit different than the person sitting next to you. You may have had a different path that life has walked you through coming in these doors, but you do belong. And you are very important. God doesn't make mistakes. Do you believe that about yourself, though? As you sit amongst this body, do you only see the differences between you and everyone else? Or do you look at Christ and see how we're woven together? How we connect? How we're important together to do what God has called us to do? And so what can we do to join in? What can we do to truly be the body? Take the spiritual gifting survey. Find out how you're equipped, how God has blessed you through the Holy Spirit, and how that would fit in with doing other things. Join a ministry. Every ministry needs every gift within it. So if you don't fit in worship ministry, or if you're not sure you fit in the littles downstairs ministry, plug yourself into some ministry and bring your gift to it and fill it out. There aren't 21 gifts, so there's 21 different things. There's 21 gifts, so we can all do one thing. And that's to glorify God, to answer his call, to preach his gospel as we go throughout the world. And that's the last thing that we can do, is simply share our faith, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when we do that, we start seeing just how connected to God we are, the community that we have with God. Have you ever wondered why there's a Trinity and not just God himself? It's because God is teaching us in that Trinity the importance of community. The depth that we find in community, the strength that we find in community, the acceptance and belonging that we find in community with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So from Jesus Christ In verse 16, we have, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. See, when we share the gospel, when we go and do what God's called us to do to glorify Him out in the community, when we form our community here and we're knit together, that is what edifies us. Why? Because that's what builds love amongst us. I want you to take a second. I want you to look around at all the different faces in here, all the different people, all the different walks of life we come from, all the different situations we've been through. That's right. Take a moment and look around. God has brought us all together, not to judge us or have each other judge each other, but to knit us together to form what He is trying to do here in Portage. And the sooner we can accept that, the sooner we can move into that type of living our life for the gospel, the sooner we can feel that love and be edified by it. Each and every day we have the choice. Each and every day we can either make ourselves an individual or see how do we bring our gifts into the community. Each and every day we have the opportunity to stand up and declare ourselves as a member of the body or simply fall aside and let ourselves diminish. But to do the first takes work. To stand up and declare yourself part of the body takes work. It means that you have to first engage in relationship, second, to be consistent, to be part of the body. I have a question. If your elbow kept on hopping off the body and running off and doing other things, and then would return every once in a while, what would you do? Other than freak out because your elbow's hopping off your body. You'd probably go to the doctor because it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. It wasn't helping the situation. It wasn't part of the body, obviously. There'd be a lot of conversations. I know it's a weird concept to be thinking, but if you had a car and all four wheels were there one day, and then one wheel just decides it doesn't want to be there one day, what happens? The car's left ineffective. See, God makes the church that way too. While the car may still be able to roll and you may still be able to start the engine and turn the air conditioning on and do some of the things, its full capacity is not met because part of it's missing. We talk about making margin in our life to answer God's call. We talked about that this morning in Bible study in the sense of how often do we sit there and say, I'm too busy to do that ministry, or I wish I could participate in what God's doing in the community, but I'm too busy doing other things. Yes, I'm asking you to commit to this church. I'm asking you to be part of this body so that we can go do the work that God has asked us to do. Because none of us can do it alone. JFK made the point to sit there and say, not by my hand, but by your hand more so will this be done. My time on earth is fleeting. I don't know when that'll come. I never know when my last day will be or when I may move away, but this body, River of Life Church, doesn't run just by me. It doesn't run just by our leadership team. It doesn't run by any of that. It runs by the body coming together, being in community, and moving forward with what God calls us to move. We need to stand up and we need to answer that call seriously. We need to commit to it. And I know your schedules are busy, but my question I'm asking you to is do you love God enough to start giving Him the priority in your life? Are you prepared to be equipped as a saint to go do the work of the ministry that God has called you to do so that the body of Christ can be edified? I want us to be a church of people who believe in Jesus Christ and answer the call, not simply just confess Christ because it makes them feel good, but actually do the work that Christ has asked His body to do. Because a body that sits stagnant is bound to die, but a body that is active, moving, and has motion is bound to have impact. I want you to be serious about those questions that are in the bulletin. to start searching out what is your role and why do you think God has called you to this church? What part are you to fulfill in this body here? That the body of Christ here at River Life can answer the call that God has given it for the mission and ministry around us. How do you fit into it? If you're not sure, what can you do to get there? And so in that last one, I'm going to ask you to look at what, in the next 3 months, what ministries are you going to explore? Because it's true. Only together can we answer the call God has given us as River of Life. Only together can we be the body of Christ. You do belong. You are very important. Amen.